This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and to open them with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We'll begin reading with verse 22. Last week we looked at Psalm 23 and we noted how the deliverance that is experienced is for the Lord's name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And we briefly mentioned Ezekiel 36 and the significance of the name of the Lord for the Lord's name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And now we'll be diving in a little bit deeper into this prophecy from Ezekiel and the significance of the name of the Lord and the promises of blessing that are connected with that. Ezekiel 36, we'll begin reading with verse 22, but before we do so, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 22, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for all your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolation and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God. This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices. Like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. then they will know that I am the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, last week, as we were looking at Psalm 23 and looking at He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, I briefly mentioned the significance of His name's sake. And I directed our attention to Ezekiel here, thinking about His name's sake in light of all of God's promises and why He keeps those promises. And then we connected it to baptism and how in baptism God places His name on us as His covenant people. For the sake of my name. For His name's sake. And now this morning, as we celebrate God's covenantal promises given in baptism, we're taking a closer look at what Ezekiel is talking about, the significance of God's name and all that He's accomplishing for the sake of His name, the blessing He's pouring out onto His people because they bear His name. And what a beautiful and assuring promise it is when God places His name on us as His covenant people. Along with that name comes this promise of blessing. I will gather, I will cleanse, I will restore, I will save. Why? For the sake of my name. You can almost picture baptism as you hear the words of Ezekiel here. He's using the same imagery as washing and cleansing. Ezekiel is describing cleansing, sprinkling with clean water, cleansing, the washing that God is doing to His people, Israel, in order for them to be clean. They have sinned, they have profaned the holiness of His name, they're unclean, but God promises them and He promises us as well, I will save you from your uncleannesses. I will cleanse. I will wash. I will deliver. I will gather. And the spiritual reality that Ezekiel is describing is the same spiritual reality that baptism directs and points us to. The washing and the cleansing from sin that God is accomplishing in us through Jesus Christ for the sake of His name. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning. First, we'll be looking at not for your sake. For those of you taking notes, secondly, it's but for the sake of my name. And our third point will be, I will save you from uncleanness. And so first, not for your sake. I want to set up the situation that Ezekiel is addressing here just a little bit. Ezekiel is a prophet to God's people while they were in exile in Babylon. Why are they in exile? Well, they're being punished. God said, if you come into the promised land, if you obey my commandments, you can stay. If not, you get kicked out. They didn't obey and they were exiled. They didn't follow the will of the Lord. They didn't stay in the land. You can think of Jeremiah, and when you think of Jeremiah, we know him as the weeping prophet. Why is he weeping? Because he was God's prophet to his people. While they were still in the land, his message was, repent, turn from your sinfulness. They didn't. And so they were exiled. Ezekiel is the prophet to God's people while they're in exile in Babylon. And his message is very simple. You all have sinned. You are being punished. But God is still keeping His side of the covenant. Here's what He's going to do. Here's how He is going to restore the glory of His name. Our passage this morning, in a very simple way, is a summary, could summarize the entire book of Ezekiel is about when it comes to the cleansing and the washing from impurity, the restoring and the saving. In many ways, the book of Ezekiel is about baptism. Not just the practice or the ceremony of baptism in itself, but the larger spiritual reality that baptism is pointing to. God's people, the Israelites, have disobeyed, they've sinned, they've defiled themselves, they're unclean, and God is coming and cleansing them and washing them and saving them, not because of anything they have done, not because they deserve this washing or this cleansing, but for the sake of his name, which his people are bearing. You can think about last week, Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His leading, his righteousness, his name. In Ezekiel, it is for the name of the Lord, it's for the name's sake that God is cleansing, that he is washing, that he is saving. And in the same way, baptism, that outward washing, points to the spiritual reality of all of our sins, all of our impurities, all of our uncleannesses being washed away because of Christ's blood. It's God saying, I will. I will wash. I will cleanse. I will save for the sake of my name. Why is God doing this for Israel? Ezekiel is bringing God's message, and the answer to that question of why is God doing this, we find it there in verse 22. Why is God saving them? Why is God cleansing them? Why is he delivering them? Well, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel. Just in case you got your wires crossed, I'm not doing this because of you or anything you've done. It's for the sake of my holy name. Which, by the way, you've profaned in all of the nations that you've gone to. It's for the sake of my name. What a wake-up call. What a sobering message for Israel. It's not because of anything you have done that I am saving you, washing you, and restoring you. It's for the sake of my name, which you bear. Everyone knows you as God's people, even though you're not living like it. This is both humbling, because it doesn't let us overestimate our own abilities or our own self-worth, but it's also comforting and assuring, because it's God who is accomplishing this work. So often when it comes to our own salvation, we see it from our own perspective. God came to save me. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son. Salvation is about us, it's about me and what God has done for me, and I become the center, I become the focus. And we might be tempted to think that there's something in me that makes God love me enough to save me. Some inherent value that in some way I am just so lovable that God couldn't help himself but save me. Or, if our pride and arrogance kicks into gear a little bit stronger, all of a sudden, how fortunate God is to have the opportunity to save me. How fortunate he is to have me as one of the sheep of his pastures. If that's how we're tempted to think, Ezekiel takes care of that pride pretty quickly. From our perspective, we think about what God has done for us, and what gets overlooked often is what Ezekiel is saying. The reason that God has washed us, the reason that he has saved us, is to bring glory to himself. It's for the sake of his name. What Ezekiel is doing here is pointing out to the Israelites and to us as God's people, it has nothing to do with you. God loving you, restoring you, saving you, it's not about you at all. It has everything to do with God because of his name. And his name was linked to Israel because of the covenant he made with them. I will be your God. You will be my people. It's not for your sake. But secondly, but for the sake of my name. And that's our second point this morning. It's amazing. When you think about the history of Israel, the roller coaster of their obedience and disobedience and being brought out of Egypt, the exodus from Egypt in the land, but then they disobeyed, kicked out of the land, the back and forth with the judges. It's amazing that God had not completely destroyed Israel because of their disobedience, because of their sin. It's amazing that God hasn't completely destroyed us as his people today because of our sin and our disobedience. And I don't mean that in a doom and gloom, fire and brimstone sort of way, but rather just to point out the practical reality of the situation. God could have completely wiped out Israel because of their sin. God could completely wipe us out because of our sin against him. We've sinned against a holy God. And the only reason that we're here today is because of that promise that we see right there in verse 28. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. There we have a promise. I will be your God. You can think of Abraham. I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And it's a promise, a covenant that God placed on his own shoulders and not ours. It's not for your sake that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. The honor of God's name is going to be restored with a show of power among all of the nations when he brings Israel back to her own land. The Lord is going to act, and it's not because of anything Israel has done. It's for the sake of his holy name. And the root of God's action, the reason for God doing this, is not grounded primarily in his love, which might suggest that, well, there's something lovable about Israel. Rather, the reason, the root, the foundation for this restoration is God's holiness. The reason God does anything for us is because of the holiness of his name, for his name's sake, for his glory. People of God, we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the cleansing and the washing that we're celebrating this morning. There's nothing that we have done to deserve this, not what my hands have done, save my guilty soul. It's all for his glory. It's all for the sake of his name. And at first, when we first hear that, we might be tempted to think, well, it's all for his glory. It's all for his name's sake. He's doing it for himself. That seems a little bit self-centered, doesn't it? He's doing it all for his glory. Isn't he the one who's being a little conceited? And the question we have to think about, the question we have to answer is, if God is not accomplishing this salvation for his glory and his honor, then whose glory and honor is he accomplishing it for? Is he saving us and delivering us and cleansing us for your glory? For my glory? If that were the case, then the glory would be going to someone other than God, which is idolatry. For God to delight in anything less than himself would be just as misplaced as us creatures delighting in anything less than our God. Sanctifying, honoring, glorifying his name which represents all that he is the only fitting task for God himself and for us as humankind who were created in his image. And in addition to that, we were given his name. He placed his name on you. This is the name he placed on Ruby, sign and seal for the sake of your name. This is the place, the name he has placed on you, the Lord's name. And the concern for the holiness of God is the reason for God's action when it comes to our salvation, for our deliverance. Not only the deliverance of the exiled Israelites, but also our deliverance and salvation as well. It's the holiness of his name. His name associated with his people is the reason he took action to save them, for the sake of my name. God has placed his name on you as well. When Aaron was told to bless God's people, back in Numbers, when he was told to bless God's people, it was a way of blessing them, but the description is that it's a way of putting God's name. God says, you're placing my name on my people. This is what number says. This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And what's the reason for that blessing? The reason for that blessing comes in the next verse, verse 27. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Why is God blessing? It's for the sake of my name. Bless them, bless my people, put my name on my people, and I will bless them. The Lord bless you and then keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift His countenance towards you and give you peace so that my name will be placed on my people and I will bless them. It's not for your sake, O house of Israel. It's not for your sake, O people of God, that He's doing these amazing things, that He is cleansing, that He is restoring, that He is saving, but rather it's for the sake of His name, which is placed on you, not only in baptism, but again and again and again as a reminder of who you are and who you belong to. And the one who is pouring out His blessings onto us. We've done nothing to deserve this. It's completely God's amazing grace for the sake of His holy name. Look at how these truths connect with baptism when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Once again, it's God placing His name on His people. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is placing His name on us. It's not for your sake that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my name, baptized into the name, Rumi, Lenin, Mulder, and for that reason, a recipient of all that God is accomplishing for the sake of His name. It's not for your sake. I'm going to do these things. It's not because of anything you've done or accomplished or how much you've given. It's for the sake of my name. For the sake of my name, I will save you. I will cleanse you. I will restore you. And that's our third and our final point this morning. I will save you from all uncleannesses. In our passage this morning, Ezekiel 36, 22 through 38, I counted at least 17 I will promises. Now, don't start counting them now. You can do that when you get home. But again and again, we have God declaring what He is going to do for us, His people, because of His name. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will deliver you from your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine. I will increase the fruit of the trees so that you will no longer suffer disgrace. I have spoken and I will do it. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Who's accomplishing this deliverance? I will. Not for any your sake, not for the sake of your what you've accomplished or done, not for your sake, O house of Israel or people of God, but for the sake of my name. In this work, we are the receivers. God is the one washing away our sins. God is the one applying to us what Christ has earned for us on the cross. When we are baptized as children or as adults, we are testifying to our desperate need for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the need that we have for the cleansing of His blood. Just like water washes away the dirt from our hands, His blood is what's cleansing us from all of our sin. Something that is done to us, not by us. It's not so much my decision to have God cleanse me and save me as much as it is God accomplishing it for his name's sake. And that's why this sign of God's deliverance and salvation, the sign of his I will promises, is given to infants. The sign of his grace and his washing, the water of baptism, is given to infants who can't do anything on their own, who haven't done anything on their own. When it comes to our salvation, it's not based on the great things that we've done, but rather the great things that God has accomplished. And what a beautiful picture when Ruby can't even walk up here on her own, but needs to be carried by mom and dad. Because that's a picture of each and every one of us as God's children. Totally unable to accomplish anything on our own when it comes to our deliverance and salvation, and totally dependent on our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus took those infants in his arms and placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Whoever receives the kingdom of God is such as these. Just like an infant. Just like one who is completely dependent. And that's the reality for us in Jesus Christ. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are completely dependent on their Lord and Savior. Now as we wrap up this morning, I want you to notice how all of these I will promises of God to his people, all of these things that God will do, are fulfilled at the cross. Look at them once again in light of what Christ has accomplished on the cross and the work he is accomplishing inside of us by the Holy Spirit. I will gather you. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will remove your heart of stone. I will put my spirit in you. I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleannesses. I have spoken. I will do it. The holiness, the washing, the cleansing of Christ on the cross, all of these I will promises find their yes and their amen and their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As 2 Corinthians 1 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. This washing with water through the word, the cleansing, the making holy, it's all the spiritual reality that baptism is pointing us to, reminding us of. All that is ours in Christ. And in baptism, we lay hold of those promises of God. I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And by faith, we hold on to those I will promises of God. Not for your sake, but for the sake of my name, our Lord tells us. I will save you from your uncleanness. And all of the I will promises, for the sake of his name, are ours through faith in Jesus Christ. For his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your name, for placing your name upon us. We can be baptized into your name. Because along with that name comes all of your promises. Promise of cleansing and washing and saving in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, help us to live our lives in light of our baptism, in light of the name that we bear, giving you, O Lord, the honor and the praise for the great things that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.